Today on the show, we're back for our 6th year. I fill you in on everything I did over the Christmas and New Year's period. Plus, I watched Saltburn and I'm still trying to figure out what the hell it's all about. All that and more on 20th Century Boy, the show that should have been cancelled 6 times. Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name is Radio Mike, and this is the inside of my mind. Oh, season 6 of the pod. I genuinely, like, I can't believe this is the 6th year. We're going into the 6th year of me doing this pod. A lot has changed in 6 years. Like, I guess for me, and welcome, by the way, I'm Radio Mike, this is 20th Century Boy, as you know. If it's your first time listening, welcome. This is 20th Century Boy, the conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. It's a weekly one-sided conversation with me, Radio Mike, the guy from the podcast. And, you know, each week I just come to this pod and just talk about sort of stuff that's been happening in the pop culture world, in the nerd culture world, in my world, that kind of thing. And yeah, the podcast is now into its 6th year. Like I said, I cannot believe 6 years ago I started this podcast in my dad's garage. It has since been recorded in like over five houses that I've lived in. Jeez, a lot has changed. And the show has changed over 6 years. And I guess starting the year by saying, like, you know, I don't know where the podcast will take us this year, but if you've been here since the start, which I know a bunch of you have, thank you. If you're new, thank you. Stick with the pod. It's really exciting. And I think I'm back earlier than I came back every other year because I was just really excited to get back into it. I realized as well, I finished the season last year. I said I was going to do one more episode and then just didn't come back. That's just, I guess, because Christmas happened and I got really, really tired. And I was like, you know what? I'm just taking a few weeks off the pod. So I am back. Again, no idea where the pod will take me this year, where it will take us together, but I guess I just wanted to start by doing some general reflections on the last year and the 5 years of the pod in general. Because half a decade of my life, I've been doing this podcast like pretty much every week, which again, I cannot believe, because to me it does. Sometimes I grapple with this fact that I've been doing this for half a decade, and I guess it's like, it's always just been this hobby of mine that's kind of like garnered a following, which is awesome, and I love that. And honestly, there have been times over the last half decade where I've really struggled to do this pod, where I've really like battled with, you know, the balance between earning money and doing this as a hobby. And now, like, I guess the content from this pod does bring in some money, but like not enough for me to live off. So I obviously still work. But this year, I really do want to try really hard to kind of prioritize my own content a lot. And, you know, doing a lot more. I'm freelancing a bit more, just doing a bit more of my own stuff, to be honest. And I did that last year and it really paid off. Like, the podcast grew a lot in 2023. Last year we had 6.5 million views on YouTube and 6.4 million views on TikTok, which is awesome. I'm not sure what this podcast will be in 2024. It's crazy that it is 2024. Did I think I'd still be doing this pod in 2024? I don't know. Of course, I still do Harry Potter and the Boys, my other podcast, and I have a few other plans for content this year that I'll let you in on shortly. But yeah, it's just, honestly, it's a bit overwhelming even like knowing where to start to talk about it. But huge results last year. Obviously, the podcast to me, at the moment at least, is like this conduit for me to, you know, talk about stuff I'm into. I then often, you know, you might listen to the full pod, or sometimes I package up little segments from the pod into YouTube clips or short clips on TikTok. I basically want the content to be out there and as accessible for everyone as possible. So that's basically what I try to do, and it works. And yeah, I guess that's sort of the idea for the pod this year, is just more of the same. More of the same, I suppose. I don't think I thought I'd be here I will let you in on a little secret. There were a few times over the years that, yes, I was probably thinking about quitting the pod. There's been a lot of times, actually, that I've thought about it. But I've always just sort of kept going. Every year, I kind of maybe lose my groove a bit or just lose my footing. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm just going to stop. Fuck this. And I get really grumpy about it. I guess it's just like, yeah, that balance of creativity. But I feel like I found a really good groove last year of just letting this be my canvas. You know, that sounds super wanky, but just letting it be, this show is just a creative outlet for me to have the conversations I want to be having, which is just talking about nerdy stuff that I'm into, I guess. And if you're along for the ride, which many of you are, I really appreciate you being here, of course. And I'd love more of this year. You can get in touch with the show at any time, radiomicpod@gmail.com or radio.mic on Instagram. Just Google me, message me somewhere, you will find me. And I would love to hear from you. You guys help build the show. If there's something you want me to talk about, if there's something you're interested in hearing my thoughts on, please just send it in. Any questions, comments, concerns, queries, complaints, compliments, or anything, any of the above, send them in. Get in touch with me. I love, of course, listener interaction on this show. And while we're at it, the Pat and Mike show will be returning this week as well. That's our Patreon exclusive podcast, patreon.com/ReadyMike. If you like this show and you listen every week, consider giving back. There's a bunch of content up there exclusive to patrons, and it's like $4.50 a month. $4.50 a month, which is basically $1 a week or $1 an episode. You get a bunch of bonus content, including the Pat and Mike show, which is a ton of fun. I would really love to build the Patreon a bit more. I'm thinking of doing like a yearly subscription as well. But yeah, if you have ever considered being on the Patreon, maybe now's a great time to jump on. Really helps support me. So yeah, I'd really appreciate that. As far as like loose plans for this year, I have a few. I think this is a good place for you to start if you're new to the show. I always say don't go back to like the first season. I think was actually okay was probably season 3 or 4 of the pod. Like, maybe that's just like creators like looking back on my stuff and being like, oh my god, I'm cringing so hard. Like, I think last year was a really good season of the show. That's what I want the show to be moving forward, I think. So I mean, if you like that, that's great. If you hate that, that sucks for you. But yeah, I think this is a really good place to start. I do have a few plans on like expanding some content, doing more stuff that listeners can be involved in. These are loose plans, but I guess loosely, on top of the Pat and Mike show, Pat and I talked about doing like a movie club, like instead of a book club. Once a month, we'll choose a movie for everyone to watch, and then me and Pat will do like, I guess, a bonus review podcast for that movie. So let me know if you're interested in that. The other thing I've been wanting to do for a while, and I think I will do, and again, it'll just be a creative thing for me, but hopefully people will enjoy it, is I think I'm going to start up a little written blog, which is something I've wanted to do for a while. It might live on my website or somewhere else. Basically, I think I'm going to call it something along the lines of like stuff I didn't get to. And it's just going to be me doing short, like little writing blog posts once a month that are kind of things I've been doing or thinking about or watching or reading or listening to or whatever that I didn't get to talk about on this show. So just little extra content, written content, you know, just short blog posts that I think I'm going to be doing. More on that as I get it started. But those are just two ideas I've wanted to start, and I hope that is exciting to you. Of course, I'm still sort of casually doing my music blog at mike.listens on Instagram, so go and follow that if you want to hear music recommendations from me. But yeah, lots happening, lots of content, lots of stuff. Really proud of the growth I've had, really proud of what we achieved last year. You know, 2 live shows, hours and hours of content, millions of views. It's awesome. I can't believe it. I'm stoked. It's incredible. So thank you so much, everyone. One thing that I wanted to start the pod on is something that regularly keeps coming up from listeners, people who have obviously listened to the show for a while, about something that was promised on the show numerous times but never came to fruition. I can't even remember when I had this idea, but it might have been like season two of the podcast, which was like 2020. And I kept saying I was going to do it again and again, and it never happened. And a lot of people recently have been asking me about it. It was an idea I had called Gumballorama. The idea was, often you might see at a supermarket or a mall or something similar, a gumball machine. It used to be 20 cents. You rotate the thing, it spits out a gumball, and, you know, you're on your merry way. Had this idea many years ago of, can you empty one of those? Can you basically just keep putting coins in to empty it? Has anyone ever done that? Probably not. There's no law against it. You're paying money, you're getting gumballs. Would someone stop you? So had this idea called Gumballorama that we were going to go empty one. Had a lot of hurdles. The main thing was, I remembered them from when I was a kid, where it was 20 cents for a gumball. Most of them are now $2 for a gumball, which is a thousand percent growth inflation rate since I was a 6-year-old kid. Suddenly it was looking more expensive than I thought. But then Pat, producer of this show, I believe did find one that was still 20 cents for a gumball. And then I just got lazy and decided not to do it. But I can officially announce on this episode, and I realize you might not trust me because this has happened many times before, but I'm officially announcing that Gumballorama will happen at some point in 2024.
Gumballorama, it will finally come, yes, I promise. This year's the year.
Gumballorama will be happening in 2024. It could be happening next week. It could be happening at the end of the year. It's more likely it's going to be happening at the end of the year, but really I can't confirm. It could happen at any point in this year. It will happen. I promise we are going to do it. That's it. We are doing it. We are doing Gumballorama. That is it. I don't care. Get excited for it. Of course, Christmas and New Year's were really exhausted. Exhausting, rather, not exhausted. I was exhausted. The time was exhausting. New Year's pretty interesting. This was, you know, one of the first years where we basically just decided we're not doing it. We're just not participating in this pretty much. We just didn't want to do anything. We were so tired at the end of the year, we just pretty much stayed home. And I think being in my late 20s, I'm finally at the point where New Year's just means nothing to me. I could not care less. Okay, the fireworks are kind of cool, but generally speaking, I do not care about New Year's. I'll watch the fireworks, but yeah, I don't care. I did have one thought about the New Year's Eve fireworks. Is someone's job all year to plan the New Year's Eve fireworks? And then they take like a week off and then they spend the rest of the year planning the fireworks. Like, how long does it take to plan, organize, and like produce the New Year's Eve fireworks? Is there someone out there, maybe you're listening to this, maybe you're seeing this, that knows the answer to that question? Because I've wondered this for my entire life. I've genuinely always been like, whose job is it to do this? How much does it cost? What's the budget? I want all the details on the New Year's Eve fireworks in Melbourne or anywhere in Australia or the world. Who does it? How long does it take? How do they plan it? There must be a company doing it. Does it take them all year? Is it their whole year's work is like, your job this year is to plan the New Year's Eve fireworks? Whose job is it? Has anyone else ever thought that, or is it just me? I don't know. A lot of people do New Year's resolutions. Not a big New Year's resolutions guy. And the reason is, New Year's resolutions set you up to fail. You can't, every year I set them, oh, I'm going to do 10,000 steps a day. And then like one day you get sick and you just can't walk, or one day it's raining and then you just like can't do it. And then you lose the whole habit from there. New Year's resolutions, stupid. Do not work. I do not set them. A lot of people say new year, new me. I'm a new year, same me. That's not me being arrogant and saying I can't improve. I can improve in a lot of places. I just don't want to. I'm content with the level of good I am. I know I can be better. I'm sure one day I'll look back and regret not being better. But at the moment, I am perfectly happy with the level of average that I am, and I will not be doing anything to improve it. New year, same me. It's a great philosophy to live for. Do not change. And also, it's arbitrary. Like, because when you think about New Year's, and I hope you had a good one, but when you think about it, it's all made up. Like, we all kind of pretend that, like, yeah, okay. Okay, I'll give you that the Earth makes a complete, you know, rotation around the sun in a year. Cool, awesome, that's great. But at the end of the day, that doesn't really mean anything. It honestly, it's all arbitrary. There's no, like, magic thing. Of course, like, it's like, oh, 1st of January, time to reset. I'll tell you what, if I did set any New Year's resolutions, all of them I would have broken already. I can already tell you, we're 1 week into the year. I've already done every bad habit I hated myself for in 2023, I've already done in 2024. Sorry. I'm just being honest. I'm a flawed human being. I've done all of them. Anyway, those are my thoughts on New Year's generally. I hope you had a good New Year's Eve. But I also wanted to fill you in on a bit of what I did over the Christmas and New Year's period. I have done this segment once before. I did it after I got back from a holiday last year in Europe. But I did want to do a new segment, not a new segment, an old segment that I said I would never do again, but I am doing it again, and it's called this. 5 mildly interesting things that have happened since we last spoke. 5 mildly interesting things that happened since we last spoke. It's just a little collection of mildly interesting things that happened that maybe you'd be interested in, maybe you won't be. That's why they're just mildly interesting. I don't know. I can't confirm. First mildly interesting thing that happened over Christmas, got an electric toothbrush. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Always been a manual toothbrush guy, but when you think about it, there really is no reason to be a manual toothbrusher. Living in the age that we live in of technological advancements, there is absolutely no reason for you not to have an electric toothbrush. And for a long time, I shrugged it off and was like, nah, there's no way an electric toothbrush is better than a manual toothbrush. Well, I can confirm there definitely is way that it is. You can feel your teeth are significantly cleaner. Plus, it's just easier. You just hold the damn thing in your mouth and move it around. Manual toothbrush, my hand's getting tired. Maybe I brush too hard, but generally speaking, electric toothbrush, infinitely better than a manual. And to be honest, I don't know why I just didn't have one. Like, I'm nearly 30. Only now am I getting an electric toothbrush. So much better. I will never go back to a manual toothbrush. Mark my words. The way it just clean, you, I can't believe I didn't think, like, this thing is electronically rotating bristles really fast, faster and in more, like, degrees than a manual toothbrush ever could. There is no way this is not better. And my teeth feel cleaner. That's one mildly interesting thing. Second mildly interesting thing that's happened to me since we last spoke. Found out Osher Ginsberg follows me on TikTok. That's mildly interesting. Osher Ginsberg, of course, very famous Australian host of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, was a host of Australian Idol, just an all-round legend of the Australian media scene who I really respect, found out he follows me on TikTok because I saw one of his videos come up and on next to his name was Your Friend, which means we mutually follow each other. So, Osher, thanks for following me, man. I really appreciate it. Great to be mutuals with you. Number 3, this is mildly interesting. The microphone desk stand that I use, which is spring-loaded, the spring in the microphone... sorry, this is not interesting. It actually is funny. The spring in the microphone desk stand that sort of locks it so you can lock it at where your mouth is, right, broke and it flicked up and hit me in the nose really, really hard, which caused my nose to start bleeding and left a big bruise under my nose, which was obviously really bad and not good at all, and caused me a lot of pain and a lot of distress. So I actually wrote an email to Rode, the company that manufactures the stand and is, like, all my microphones are Rode, the Rodecaster podcast machine. I use a lot of Rode stuff. And Rode said they're really sorry about what happened and they're going to send me out a replacement because it does seem like the springs have worn. So that's really good customer service from Rode, and I wanted to give them a shout out. Even though their thing hit me in the face and really hurt me, they handled it very professionally. Let's move on to number four. The fourth mildly interesting thing that happened to me between Christmas and now was today on Swan Street here in Richmond, I saw Sam Wood, who was on The Bachelor. I think he might have been on the first season of The Bachelor. Maybe not the first one. But yeah, saw Sam Wood from The Bachelor. And I was with Jack Post, who knew him. So he was like, oh, hey, Jack. And Jack was like, hey, Sam, this is my friend Mike. And I was like, hey, Sam. He was like, g'day, Mike. Happy New Year. I was like, you too. And we kept walking. So that was kind of an interesting celeb spot. And number one, and this might be the biggest change you'll see from me in the year because it's not something that happened. It's a decision that I've made. And it's a big decision. Now, okay, you're probably like, oh, is Mike going to be vegan or vegetarian? No, that will never happen. The big decision that I have made in 2024 is I have decided that I'm going to learn how to play the harmonica. Bam. I know that's really out there. Well, maybe it's not out there. But basically, I at the start of last year, one weekend, literally just one weekend, I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to solve a Rubik's Cube. I've always wanted to know. I've just never bothered. Like, I know it's solvable, so I should be able to do it. So I'm just going to learn. And I literally spent an entire weekend learning how to solve a Rubik's Cube. It was really frustrating. There were times where I thought there was no way I was going to get it. There were times where I wanted to throw it out. Then finally, I figured it out. I kept doing it. Now I can solve a Rubik's Cube in about a minute and a half, right? Just a fun, like, quirky skill to get. Have decided that I want to do one of those every year. This year, it's going to be harmonica. Why? A lot of people might think, because I feel like everyone as a kid somehow got a harmonica, just started playing it not knowing, and like, it's a lot of people think it's like the most annoying instrument in the world alongside the recorder. But if you've actually seen people play harmonica well, it actually sounds awesome. And I've self-taught myself piano, I self-taught myself guitar, and now I just want to self-teach myself harmonica. I just think it would be really cool to just have a harmonica and be able to play it, pick it up and just start playing it. And people would be like, oh, that's cool, you can play harmonica. Where'd you learn? Oh, taught myself. So my thing for 2024, and I might give updates on this show as we go, I'm going to become a harmonica guy. It's going to be my new thing. So get ready, guys, for Harmonica Mike. Harmony Mike. That's going to be an awesome new side of me. And those are five mildly interesting things that have happened since we last spoke. Okay, I have a bunch more stuff to talk about, but I've already been going for like half an hour. So let's speed through. Actually, looking back, you could make an argument that my New Year's resolution is to learn the harmonica, but no. It's not a resolution. Okay, I think I'm late to this party, but I saw the film Saltburn. We watched it over the weekend. Has anyone seen this? If you haven't heard of it, go watch it. This is such a weird movie. It's one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen in my life. Saw a lot of people talking about it when it sort of came out in cinemas, and I just kind of missed it. It doesn't really feel like a movie I would normally watch, but then I went out with some friends and they said, you've got to watch this movie, Saltburn. So I watched it and really enjoyed it. I really, really liked it. The first thing you notice about this movie, and I'll just give a loose synopsis. Basically, it's about a guy who is like troubled kind of guy with parents who were addicted to drugs and alcohol and everything like that. He goes to college. He makes friends with this really rich, wealthy, handsome dude. And the really rich, wealthy, handsome dude invites him to his like family home, which is a massive mansion in the country. And basically, he falls in love with the really rich, handsome dude. And it's like not necessarily like love. It's more like this really creepy obsession, stalkerish obsession that he has. One of the first things you notice about this movie when it starts is it's shot in a 4:3 aspect ratio, which is basically like a square as opposed to 16:9, which is basically like where the full screen is taken up. I guess that was a stylistic choice. And when it starts, because it's 4:3, it kind of does feel just like an older movie, because I guess back in the day, we used to watch stuff on square TVs and stuff was all 4:3. You actually see a lot now where, and this is totally unrelated to Saltburn, but stuff that was shot as 4:3, like episodes of Friends, right? Back in the 90s, they were 4:3 because that's how it was back then. But now they've been like remastered as 16:9, and basically like they've gone back into the archives and got the full 16:9 frame. So they fill in the rest of the frame. But often what happens is you can actually see, sometimes you can see that the apartments they're in are just sets, because like parts that weren't supposed to be broadcast are added in on the 16:9. Really interesting. Look out for that. That's not relevant to Saltburn. Saltburn is just a roller coaster. There are so many things that happen in this movie that you just don't see coming and don't expect. I knew about one thing that happens because I saw a bunch of tweets talking about how the guy in the movie basically goes to drink draining bath water that the rich, handsome guy just jerked off in. And it's such a weird scene, especially if you're not ready for it, that really shows like the creepiness of this character. And then basically, spoilers if you haven't seen it, I'm spoiling the movie. At the end, the rich, handsome guy dies and the creepy guy basically has sex with the dirt that he's buried in. So he pulls his pants down and starts having sex with the dirt in one of the strangest scenes I have ever seen in a film in my life. Just really bizarre, but a genuinely engaging, like interesting film where you're just really curious to know what happens next. There's also a scene where he gives oral sex to a woman who is currently on her period and starts like licking up the blood off his fingers. It's a really bizarre movie. Absolutely crazy. Stuff I've never seen in a movie before. And it all ends with him naked dancing around the house to the classic Sophie Ellis Bextor song, Murder on the Dance Floor, with like full floppy dick flopping around as he dances in just crazy stuff. Very artistic movie, very strange movie. Like, it's a movie that I know my parents wouldn't like. And watching it, I was just like, wow, this is absolutely crazy what's happening right now. Lots of confronting scenes, but yeah, genuinely good movie. And just, I love that a movie or a TV show can bring a song back into like back into pop culture, back into like big pop culture. Like the last time we saw that was probably with Running Up That Hill from Stranger Things in that scene. I still haven't actually finished that season, but I know that that song had a really big resurgence because of that moment in Stranger Things. And I think Murder on the Dance Floor, which I remember being like 5 or 6 years old, and that song was massive. That's like 25 years ago. That's how old I am, right? And then like Sophie Ellis Bextor, the artist, like I kind of, in my mind, she's like a one hit wonder. I'm sure she had lots of great songs, but I don't remember her ever being bigger than that song before or after. I don't remember hearing much from her before or after. And there's probably people who, well, there's definitely people, young people, Gen Zers, who are watching Saltburn and hearing that song who probably weren't even alive when that song was big, when that song came out. Maybe we're hearing that song for the first time and now it's blowing up on TikTok in Gen Z culture. I love that film can do that with music. And I guess if you watch the movie, you can see why that song in particular just suits that scene so well and that moment so well. It's just such a bizarre, weird moment and such a bizarre, weird scene, and everything about it just kind of works, I guess. It's a really good movie. I ended up rating it 3.5 on Letterboxd, but I actually think I want to change it to 4 because the more I kind of want to watch it again now to see if I can pick up on any of the clues because there's a sort of twist ending at the end. But yeah, Saltburn, really interesting movie. I think it's really it's really unique as a pop culture moment. I don't know why I didn't see it in cinemas when it came out, but yeah, it's on streaming now, so definitely go and watch it. If you've been listening to this podcast or following me, or if you know me in real life, you will know I am a big fan of punk music, the punk scene, pop punk music. That's like my jam, always has been. I think it's awesome. I don't care if you don't. And basically, Green Day are about to come out with a new album a few weeks from now. And Green Day, you know, iconic band of the 90s, iconic rock band, one of the biggest in the world. They're doing a lot of press and publicity around this album. And I've been keenly listening to a lot of their new music, just trying to, you know, see if it's up my alley, see if I like it. It just sounds sort of like them. And if you haven't been following them for the last 20 years, like, there's a lot to talk about, but I won't get into it, you know, in this. But they put out a new single the other week. It was called One-Eyed Bastard. And I wanted to play you just a few of the opening bits of that song because particularly if you're in Australia, I think, because I don't know. I'll explain in a sec. Basically, I think Green Day, and I hate saying this, I think Green Day stole their new song from another artist. This is the opening riff to Green Day's newest single, One-Eyed Bastard. Okay. Now, as soon as I heard that, instantly, I was like, ah, oh, this is just that Pink song. I think that's demonstration enough because to me, it genuinely feels as though that is the exact riff from the Pink song, So What? The reason I said Australian is because I know Pink is American, but from what I've heard, Pink isn't actually that big in the US. She's just really big in Australia. So a lot of the US don't know who Pink is. But that aside, I couldn't believe when I heard it. Because, yeah, identical. And it was the first thing I thought. Like, the song sounds exactly the same. And it was beyond me that it could sort of get to that point, that it could actually get to a point in which they're writing that riff and writing this song. There must be so many people involved in the recording, so many people involved in, like, every aspect of this song existing, from the band to, like, I don't know if there must be a label, I'm pretty sure, a producer, engineers, studio people, like all of these people. And did no one say, hey, like this is a cool idea, but I gotta say, it just is that Pink song. It's so similar, like it's beyond me that they've done this. And like I will admit, like a lot of Green Day songs do kind of borrow from other musicians. There was actually a point where I think Noel Gallagher from Oasis actually accused Green Day of stealing Wonderwall when they wrote Boulevard of Broken Dreams. And the main thing he was saying was the entire like chord progression was the same. So that was like that one, I don't think they even sound particularly similar, but someone was still like, hey, you stole my song. I would be so surprised if Pink doesn't come out and say, come on, that's my song, right? This is like pretty much as bad as the Olivia Rodrigo and Paramore scandal that I talked about on the pod a few years ago. This is like, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. Could not believe it. And I guess it's kind of, it hasn't soured my opinion on the new album. I am excited for the new album. I'm sure I'd like it. I love Green Day's music. The thing that I've found with Green Day is that if you listen to them or don't listen to them, I think you'll agree. A lot of their music just sounds so the same now. And I feel like they've put themselves in a box where it's really difficult for them to be a bit more experimental with their music. Whereas I look at the new Blink-182 album, which, as you all know, I absolutely love. And, you know, those are two bands that started in very similar places. But I feel like the reason I'm so much more excited about these new Blink songs is because over, like, I guess the 30 years that they've both been bands, you know, they're both from Californian punk bands from the 90s. Over those years, and you can hear it in this new Blink album, they're so much more experimental and they've left doors open for them to experiment, right? There's synths in some songs. There's like layered vocals. There's some auto-tuned vocals. They're not like just crunchy guitar riffs with power chords all the time. You know, they experiment with their music more, and I feel like there's a natural evolution of their music if you listen to their music in order. Whereas Green Day, it just feels like they're just trying to make arena, stadium, big music that all just has these power riffs and they all sound kind of the same. So I'm not super excited for it, but I think it might be okay. But yeah, I do think they definitely ripped off Pink with that song. I did have two more things to talk about, but I'm just going to talk about one more. I want to try and keep all the pods around 45 minutes this year. Let's call that a New Year's revolution. I have a brand new TV show that I like to watch. Some of you might not expect this, but it kind of follows on from what I was just talking about. I have started watching The Kardashians. Does that shock everyone? It certainly shocks me. My hands up, shocks me. I've started watching The Kardashians, not because I'm interested in The Kardashians. I understand why people are. They're great. I'm interested in The Kardashians purely because Courtney is dating, well, is married to Travis Barker, the drummer from Blink-182. They've actually just had a child together, Rocky. Well done, Travis and Courtney. Good luck with Rocky. And Blink-182 appears in The Kardashians now. So now I'm in this peculiar situation where I, a 29-year-old white male, am watching The Kardashians, which, you know, if you love The Kardashians, that's great. I've just never watched it before and I've never been drawn to it because I don't necessarily think it's targeted to me. That doesn't mean it's bad if you watch it. It's great if you watch it. If you love reality, if you're into The Kardashians. For me, I've never been there, right? But now, because Travis Barker's in it, I'm watching every episode because I want to see what Travis is up to. The most recent episode, right? Season 4, episode 10, Courtney and Kris Jenner are on tour with Blink. Travis is in the tour bus. Mark and Tom are there a little bit. You see them interact. You see them on stage. It's a perfect show to watch for a Blink-182 fan. And it's the ultimate like lottery system because you're not 100% sure if any Blink-related content will appear that episode. But Courtney is a prominent character, and because she's married to Travis, he pops up a lot, and it's really interesting. So, you know, it is very possible that my favorite show of 2024 is The Kardashians, and I might end up on this pod giving Kardashian-related reviews every week, just to give you a little Blink update. I always talk about how, and this is a detour that's going to go for 4 minutes. So I've already gone over the New Year's resolution. I told you I break all the New Year's resolutions straight away. Basically, I've complained a lot privately and on this pod sometimes about how content creation now is almost geared towards you just doing one thing. like the same thing. Like, okay, my thing is comedy sketches, or my thing is, you know, my niche is punk music or gaming or Nintendo or comics, or like, and people have like one niche that their entire like channel is about, and then they can only make stuff about that. I've always been against that, and this pod has always been against that, because like I just like to talk about everything, and that's kind of what I've been trying to do. And I think it's actually working slowly. Like my niche, I guess, is more generally pop culture. And, you know, I said I put up clips from this podcast on YouTube and stuff. And back in the day when I first started doing that, they were getting like 15, 20 views. Now they get like 1,000 views sometimes per episode. Like a lot of them get, you know, 1,000, which is awesome. And I can't believe that. It's so cool. But basically, like, I guess the reason I brought that up is because like, if I actually did a series that was like, here's all the Blink-182 stuff in the latest episode of The Kardashians, if I did that every week, I'd probably get a following. Like, I could get a following, a bigger following on TikTok and stuff quicker by just doing the same content every day, but I don't want to do that. I want to be like a pop culture commentator. That's what my channel is. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm a big Kardashians fan. If you want to chat Kardashians, hit me up. There's a new season this year. I can't wait for it. Guys, what a beautiful, beautiful episode to return with in 2024. I hope you enjoyed it. Let's finish with this.
The plug.
As I said, clips, longer form, shorts, reels, TikToks, everywhere on the socials. Go and follow. Subscribe to the YouTube. Nearly at 7,000 subs. Really want to hit 10,000 pretty soon. I think we will. It's been an awesome growth thing, like I said, in views and followers and everything like that. As well as that, I think Harry Potter and the Boys will be back soon. Let me know your thoughts on any of those ideas I discussed. That would be awesome. So yeah, Harry Potter and the Boys is back soon. Pat and Mike back Friday. Patreon.com/RadioMike to get that. Would love to get you guys listening. And of course, right into the show. You guys help build the show. Guys, really excited about 2024. So excited to be back doing this pod. Awesome speaking to you, and I'll speak to you again next week. My name's Radio Mike. This has been The Inside of My Mind. See you later. I'm